Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 11. Matthew, chapter 11. We will begin reading at verse 1. Title of our lesson today is, He Departed to Teach and Preach. What a thrill it must have been to hear Jesus talk. Amen. Now, I'll be honest with you, they listened to a point, but then they began to leave him when his teaching became deep, and they struggled with it. But the Bible says no one ever spoke like him. When they sent to arrest him, those that were sent came back and said, we couldn't. He spoke with authority. Do you look forward to hearing the voice of Jesus? What a day that's going to be when we stand before our Lord and Savior. And I've often wondered, and I've said this to you, I wonder how long we will stand, and then how long we will lay prostrate on the floor. How long we will cling to His feet and thank Him for what He has done, for the great love that He has provided, and for the safety of heaven and the escape from hell. Shall we stand, if you're able, Matthew chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison of the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this thought that John was curious as to, are you the one? But Lord, we can know for sure that you truly are the one who came to die for us. Thank you for that salvation that we have through Jesus Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Chapter 11, verses 10 and 11a. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. We have been discussing on Wednesday night different biblical individuals. Last week, on Wednesday night, it was Balaam. The Wednesday night before that was Jeroboam. And we've looked at many different ones. But none apparently can compare to John the Baptist. What a testimony. What a compliment. I wonder what the Lord would have to say about Paul Madonna. Paul Madonna, who graduated from Stevenson High School in 1971, dead smack in the middle of those that had the highest grade point average and those that had the lowest grade point average, right in the middle. Paul Madonna, who was able to graduate from the Bible Baptist Seminary and must admit, I was on the high B average and I struggled because I missed the A average by a sum. Well, you can figure out what the sum was, but just enough. Paul Madonna, who was fortunate to marry Donna Jean Derringe, and they have spent many years together, and they've had two sons and eight grandchildren, the youngest one being here with us today. We're going to have her for about a week. And Brian and Erica have gone to Florida, and they've taken their two oldest children down to one of the amusement parks down there. And we'll get Joey, I guess, on Monday. He's spending a few days with the other grandpa. And we think, well, who is Paul Madonna? Well, what would the Lord have to say about him? Now, I could begin naming you and say, what would the Lord have to say about you? But of John the Baptist, we find that there was none greater than him. Cunningham Gerke. I wonder what you would shorten Cunningham to as your first name. But Cunningham Gerke, Doctor of Divinity, in his book, The Life and Words of Christ, printed in 1880, says, "The exceeding difficulty of telling the story of a life like that of Jesus Christ, a man and yet divine, one having all power given him in heaven and in earth, and yet like other men in all respects except sin, is at once evident on the least reflection. Indeed, it is not so much difficult as impossible to tell it as such conditions demand. For human intelligence can only comprehend the created, not the creator." Unquote. John 1, verse 25, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Can you imagine what it must have been like to sit at the feet of Jesus and to listen to him talk? Jesus said of himself, "Even as the Son of Man came, not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Matthew 20. Verse 28. And again here in verse 1 of chapter 11, "He departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. He went alone, for he had sent his 12 disciples off to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He sent them out in 6 2-man teams, while he himself probably went to the cities of Galilee." And his mission was to teach and to preach the message of salvation. To teach that men and women need to repent. Is it easy to repent? No. For many of us, it's a lifetime experience. Over and over and over and over again. But let's read verse 2. "Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples." John the baptizer, John the cousin of Jesus, John the forerunner of the Messiah, John the Baptist is in prison. And what is his crime? Matthew 14 verses 3 and 4 tells us, "For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, it's not lawful for thee to have her." Does that tell us that immorality was prevalent back during the time of Jesus? Yes, it was. It's an ongoing thing. It's ongoing today. And people hate it when preachers preach against it. They hate it when it's brought up that God has created a union of one man with one woman, that they will be married together, and that's how it should be. And yet we struggle with it. You don't understand, Pastor. I love him. I love her. I want them. Oh, I want it so bad. I couldn't help myself. But immorality is immorality, and it's wrong. And John the Baptist dare declare it to Herod. But John had heard of the mighty works of Jesus, and he sends two of his disciples to question him. Is John doubting who Jesus is? John, who said in the book of John, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." Let's read verse 3. "And he said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Are you the Messiah? Are you the Christ? Are you the one for whom we are waiting? May I say this? There were many that were looking for a Christ, for a Messiah that would come and overthrow the Roman government. Let me say this. The government in our world today, the governments, unless they are led by the Lord, are going to be corrupt. And I hate to disillusion you, but President Trump probably has some things he doesn't want you to know about. And our preceding presidents, some of them had things. Would you believe everything about the government of the United States of America? How about of the great state of Michigan? You don't believe everything that comes out of Lansing? You that live in Sterling Heights, do you believe all our government officials? Now, you that live in Utica, obviously, small little area, it's a perfect place. Come on, there's some of you that live in Utica. Shelby Township, Rochester Hills, Washington Township, Clinton Township, Macomb. No. But we realize that government is not going to save us. We're all going to die. Every one of us. Every one of us. And they thought that Jesus was going to come and overthrow the Roman Empire. They hated the Romans. They hated the taxation. They hated their invasion of their armies marching through their areas. They couldn't stand them, and they wanted Jesus to do this. They wanted the Messiah to do this. Well, Jesus came the first time, but he didn't come to rule our nations. He came to rule what? Our hearts. He wants us to give him our heart. That's what he wants. Now, I do believe he will come again and that he will rule for 1,000 years with a rod of iron. And I think things are going to be so different than what they are today. Can I tell you some of the things that I think are going to be different during the millennial reign? What if I were to tell you won't have television? You say, wait a minute, what do you mean? He's going to rule. How much of television do you think Jesus would allow? Huh? How much do you think he's going to allow in the way of the internet? How about pornography? Over half the internet is pornography. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. There are going to be things that are different. You won't be able to go down to the corner store and people won't be able to buy alcohol because he's going to rule with a rod of iron. Why do you think they will rebel against him at the end? Because of his rule. Because as while we are in this human flesh, we are going to struggle. Do you look forward to when you're no longer in this human flesh? Now, I'm going to tell you something. The other day, the humidity came in and my foot ached. You remember when I had to wear that boot? I wore that boot for 17 years. Well, it seemed like 17 years. But my foot ached. I was so glad when the humidity moved out and the pain stopped. But this morning, my knee burns. I'll be so glad when it's over. Now, I'm not saying I want to die. I don't want any of you to go pull out your pistol because I know some of you are caring. Okay? And I don't want any of you to put me out of my misery, per se, but I'm looking forward to the day in which I don't have to wear these glasses. And my wife has begun to tease me about my hearing when I can hear her. The world's a lot quieter now? Okay. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that day when I'm not in this human body anymore. I tell you what, I am. But John was wondering, are you the one? He had proclaimed to repent. He had claimed judgment, and judgment is slow in coming. Have you ever wondered why the Lord doesn't judge people now? Why does he allow bad people to do well? Why? Why are there some people in our professional sports that are just complete jerks? And they earn $15 million a year or $20 million a year or more. And you think to yourself, Lord, why? Isn't that amazing that there are people who are in the world of pornography that are actually praised? We live in a strange world, don't we? Yes, we do. But the Lord has a plan and a purpose. And right now, during this church age, it is our job to take out the message of Jesus Christ. He is in prison, and he's wondering. And Jesus says this, beginning at verse 4. Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. Go and encourage him. Why do you think we should come to church? To be encouraged. Do you think I'm encouraged when I see you? Absolutely. And we encourage one another. One of the things I like best when we're on vacation is to go to a church, and I'm encouraged when the pastor gets up and he proclaims the message that I'm used to hearing. And I see people who are wanting to hear the word of God. In verse 5. Tell them, the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. John was a man of the outdoors. Yet he's imprisoned. He declared judgment, and he's waiting for it to come. He had bravely declared to Herod Antipas that it is wrong for him to marry his brother's wife, Herodias. He's getting the messages and is encouraged, but yet he is wondering, why hasn't the kingdom come? And so Jesus sends his disciples back. Have you ever noticed that two things Jesus encourages us to come to him, and then he tells us to go and talk about him? It's the same message today. Come. Come, and I'll give you rest. But then you're to go and to tell. Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight. You're over on 19 My Road. You're driving by Bemis Junior High School and Browning Elementary, and there's a sign warning you that there is a blind student in the area. I remember years ago, Dad, when Cheryl Smalden would come to church, and she was a blind woman, and she would sit right about here. And sometimes she would bring her leader dog, Ginger. And I still remember the time that Dad pounded on the pulpit and the dog barked. Yes. But the fact of the matter is, you know blind people or have known them. And I'm sure that you would have done something so they could see again. And Jesus tells John's disciple, go tell him the blind receive their sight. The lame walk. A couple of years ago, I went to a waterfall in the Smoky Mountains, Spruce, flat falls. It's beautiful. It's not listed in the material that the Smoky Mountains give out. You have to find it some other way. And we had made it back to the falls, and on the way back, we're meeting a woman and her couple of friends. She had had knee replacement the week before. And I'm thinking to myself, a mile and a half on this rugged trail, and you're only halfway. Well, she was only halfway. She was going to be going downhill for quite a while, and then she'd have to come back up, and I'm thinking, you're brave. You're braver than I am. But the lame shall walk. The lepers are cleansed. If you read about the colonies of lepers that were in biblical days, you would find that loved ones would come to the area where the lepers would live, usually in caves, in caverns. And they would come in at a certain time and they would bring food or maybe clothing, and they would wave at their loved ones that were coming out to get the food. But not everyone that would come was coming to give food. Some were coming to jeer and to laugh and to throw rocks. Isn't that the way we are? We're mean to those that are down. But the lepers are healed. The deaf hear. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. But then it says here, interestingly enough, the poor have the gospel preached to them. The poor don't get all the benefits that the rich have. Have you ever noticed that? In my subdivision, as we are going down Sal Road back into my subdivision, there is a home that a Lamborghini visits, a red Lamborghini. I don't think I've ever seen a Lamborghini in our parking lot. Well, why is that? Well, it's a very, very, very expensive vehicle. You say, would you like to have one? I would like to get in it and just sit and have you drive by and see. And I'd wave at you. Yes. But have you ever noticed that the rich are the ones that seem to be given first place when it comes to certain things? They have benefits that rest of us don't enjoy. Enjoy. What did Jesus have to say about the poor? That you will, they'll always be with you. When our missionaries go into countries, how many of them go to the richest parts of the country? They almost always begin where? In the lower economic area of a country. Why is that? Because they'll listen. Unfortunately, the rich will often say, well, I don't need what that there is. I've got everything imaginable. Imagine, why would I need that? And Jesus is saying to John, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Do you know what a blessing it is to have the gospel preached to us? What if you were a billionaire? What if you could drive a Lamborghini one day and the top BMW the next day and then have a Rolls Royce another day? That you had the best of clothes and the best of food, but you didn't have Christ. What would you have? You'd have nothing. Nothing. Because money will not get us into heaven. It's knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior. That's what's important. And Jesus tells John's disciples, let them know that the poor have not been forgotten. They have not been forgotten. Take your Bibles quickly to the book of Romans chapter 10. And I see that we are just about out of time because that clock just keeps moving. Oh, I think that clock's ahead of time. Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 8. Romans 10, verse 8. Paul writing to the believers there in Rome. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon his name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall we stand together? Shall be saved. Sin creates division. A great gulf between us and our Creator God. A gulf that only Jesus Christ could bridge on the cross. He died that we could have salvation. That he would remove that gulf, that division. Have you come to him and asked him to remove that gulf? Have you asked him to be your Savior? Have you declared him to be the Lord? Only you can do that for yourself. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, now that your hand would be upon us. We thank you for the thoughts of John the Baptist, the one who died for his faith and for his commitment and for his boldness. Lord, give us such boldness. Give us such a desire to serve you faithfully. And Lord, if there's one here today that doesn't know thee as Savior, Lord, we ask that your hand would be upon them, that the Spirit would move and touch them. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.